moment, and we can stand for that, but I know you've been standing, and I'm so thankful for the presence of God we feel here today. Amen. I'm thankful for being able to be part of children's ministries. One of the things that Brother Greeley and I have in common is that we both served as the secretary of that department for many years, and I did it for 7 years. I think you did it for 7 or 8 years or something. And that was a great privilege. We put very little into that effort compared to what God blessed us with. Amen. And bringing us out of that. And I like to serve in any way I can. And I'm excited about what God's going to do in the children's camp this year as well. Praise the Lord. Been talking to Brother McLaughlin, who's the director of children's ministries, and I'm very thankful for that. Amen. We are going to have our foot washing and communion service this Wednesday, and that is a big focus, of course, for this month. We've been focusing on that. Brother Fred taught on communion. Sister Greeley, this last Wednesday, taught on the history in the scripture of the Passover. And if you have not reviewed those or listened to those, please take the time, go on the website or go on the app and listen to those. And as a bonus, you can actually speed up the time. So I listened to the message at about 1.5 times speed. It drives my wife crazy, but she says, "How can you understand what they're saying?" You know, maybe it's because I have like a scattered brain or something, but if there's too much of a gap in between the words, I start thinking about something else. So, but then the irony is I'm a slow speaker. So I can't even listen to myself. Amen. But seriously, when I think about communion, when I think about all of it, and when I hear that word communion, you know, think about all of the different things, the elements, the history, and I'm so thankful that we've had teaching on that. But, you know, someone, when we think of that, we would think of a special service, a special time. And then others would think of the elements, the bread and the matzah bread and the grape juice. And some think of the history or the reasons for partaking. And yet others may think of it as an obligation or a commandment. And while those things are part of communion, and while we couldn't have communion without any of them, none of them in reality is communion. They're important, but that's not communion. That's the elements or the parts or the symbols of communion. And the bread is not communion. The fruit of the vine is not communion. The history is not communion. The commandment or the obligation, it's not real communion. There's a difference. There's a difference between communion and all of those things. There's a difference from being close to or around the things of God and being in communion with God. There's a difference between touching holy things and receiving the Holy Ghost. The world would say, well, why do we care? Who cares? If you did drink the juice, if you did eat the bread, you had communion. But there's a danger in that attitude that's just apathetic and doesn't care about the things of God and doesn't go beyond what is seen and see what is real. Amen. That mindset is satisfied with just checking a box or an obligation. But without real communion with Jesus Christ, without it, how could I be satisfied to just come and eat the bread and drink the cup and wash the feet and be in the environment around real communion, but not really have communion? We need to be aware of that, and we need to guard against that attitude in the church. Guard against it in our own walk with God. And I'm not talking about open rebellion. You maybe wouldn't even be able to tell who's having real communion and who is not. It's not rebellion. It's not rejecting the things of God. You're here. But it's something far more difficult to detect. It's being comfortable in a lack of a genuine move of God in your life. I don't want to be comfortable and sit here and let things go on around me and God move in other people's life without God moving in my life. Stopping at what I see and never entering into what is real. So I want to preach this today by the help of the Holy Ghost. Beyond the bread. Beyond the bread. Would you stand with me and let's go to the Word of God. John chapter 6, verse 53 through 58. John chapter 6, starting at verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. That word indeed means for real. All right. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He which eateth of this bread shall live forever. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, right now, we're asking you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Lord, touch us, God. Your word is anointed, Lord Jesus. Your word is powerful. Amen. It is living, God, and it is able, Lord Jesus, to discern and to divide, God, between the intentions of the heart and what is really, really convicting the heart, God. And we ask you, Jesus, that you would help us today, Lord. Enter into real communion with you, Lord God. Amen. And go beyond the bread, Lord Jesus. Beyond the vine, God. Amen. Beyond everything else, Lord Jesus. We want communion with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of great new faces today. Some we've seen in the past. Amen, of course. But I wanted to thank Brother MJ for bringing his grandparents today. Amen. Thank you for coming, sir. Praise God. Jesse, good to see you. As always, Brother Jesse. And I forgot his name because it was the same day that he came, Julian came. It's a totally different person. Amen. But it's so good to see everybody here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Real communion. Real communion. When you read and you imagine the environment in which Jesus was speaking to this crowd of people, I can just picture their faces and how they were reacting when Jesus was saying what he was saying. What we just read. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood, those things would be considered abominations to the people of Israel. That would have been strictly off limits. And those things that he said would indeed offend the natural mind. In fact, if you were to come to scripture, amen, and did you know that Jesus said that you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood? People would be like, I didn't know that. And that offends the natural mind. Because Jesus was never pointing to something natural. He was pointing to something spiritual. Right. Yeah. Something that must go beyond picking up that cup and picking up that bread and beyond that experience. And it's something that must be entered. Communion is something that must be entered. To have real communion, you've got to enter communion with Jesus. Amen. And there's a burden that God put on my heart when I was in my devotions. Amen. That there are people that touch God, but never commune with Him. There are people who experience church, but never experience transformation. There are people who handle the bread and the cup, but never enter into the covenant with Jesus Christ. And this devotion, this book that I was reading, it's a devotional book, and I hope you're doing devotions, church. I hope that you, yes, read your Bible, but I hope that you take some extra time and get into a devotion. Amen. Read some more about God. Enter into something else that's going to give you insight in your walk with God. But my morning devotion, this book I'm reading called Things That Matter Most by J.H. Jowett. One of the devotional papers is called Terminus and Thoroughfare. These are old words. Terminus means like a bus stop. Terminus means stop. Thoroughfare means a pathway. So terminus or stop and thoroughfare, which means a password. Something stood out to me, and I want to read this to you. This little passage here. It says, apply the principle, we're thinking of stopping or do we go through? Apply this principle to nature, to our association with the wonders of the natural world. Our temptation is to dwell on the material side of nature and never apprehend the spiritual significance of the divine world. We stop at bread. We do not push through to God. And he starts to talk about four types of men. There is a type of man or person to whom nature makes no sort of refined appeal. He seems to be insensible to its presence. His powers are held in a kind of benumbment. There is a second type of man who discovers in nature higher ministries of physical inspiration and delight. His senses are gratified. He is charmed by the play of color. He is fascinated by the minstrelsy of song. He is exhilarated by the delicacies of flavor and perfume. He experiences it. The third type of man, who rises in aesthetic appreciation of nature, he exercises artistic and poetic discernment. Imagination is now at work, and delicate fancy, and a world of romance is unveiled. Idylls are born and lyrics are sung. But there is a fourth type of man who has a spiritual apprehension of nature. Spiritual, not just natural. Who holds communion with its spiritual world. Who uses it as a thoroughfare to the divine. Who passes by its bread, giving thanks for the bread to find the true significance in God. He moves with awed and wondering soul through the light of setting suns to the light that never was on sea or land. And through the apocalypse of the changing clouds to the rainbow round about the throne, the outer bread conducts him to the hidden manna. And behind the world of senses, he discovers the world invisible, incorruptible, and full of glory. Amen. I know that probably just went right over most of our heads, so I want to break it down. There's four people, four ways of seeing, four levels of response, four dispositions or attitudes, if you will, that reveal the condition of the human heart, that reveal its sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. So he first talked about an indifferent man. There was an indifferent man. There's a man who sees but does not see. He hears, but he does not hear. His spirit is unmoved. His heart is untouched. He lives in what has been described as a benumbment or a coldness of the soul. Nothing stirs him. Nothing penetrates his heart. You can bring him into the presence of God, but he leaves the same way that he came. Nothing moves him. Amen. Matthew 13:19, Jesus gives us a clue why this is. He says, and this is in the parable of the sower, he's explaining this to his disciples in Matthew 13:19, and he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, or does not apprehend it, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. I don't want to be the type of person that hears the word, and the word even is described as coming into my heart, but because I didn't apprehend it, because there was no connection, amen, no communion there. There was connection, all right, but there was no communion. Amen. That word was spoken, sown into that heart, and the seed was present, but it never entered into communion. That seed touched that man, but never took root. Amen. There was contact for sure, but there was no communion. And then there was the second type of man, which I described as the gratified man. This other man, he responds, but it's only on the surface. He's moved, he's stirred, he is even affected emotionally. He enjoys the music, he appreciates the atmosphere, he feels something in the moment. But when the moment passes, so does the effect. There's no depth, there's no change, there's no transformation, because the response was simply emotional. Oh, this feels good. This is thrilling to be in the presence of God, but there's no communion. There's a connection. He responded, but it was not in the way which leads you through the natural into the supernatural. Let me say it like this. Connection is not communion. You can feel something and still never be changed by it. Real communion goes beyond emotion. Real communion is not just a thrill. Real communion is not just tears or trembling. Real communion is when you step into the presence of God and then you allow the presence of God to step into you. Amen. Everything else fades away. Amen. And you have real communion with God. The third type of man, which was described by J.H. Jowett, John Henry. Amen. I was calling him John Henry. It helps me read when I feel like I know the person. Amen. That higher level, the discerning man. He sees better. He sees a higher level. He understands. He actually perceives. He appreciates. He discerns. But appreciation is not apprehension. Appreciation is not apprehension. He can explain the truth. He can articulate doctrine. He can even recognize what is right. But listen carefully. Understanding does not equal surrender. Having insight does not equal obedience to God. You can know holiness and still not live holy. You can see the truth clearly and still not submit to the truth. As I was studying this, I was thinking of name after name after name, and a tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. Amen. Of those who know the truth, but do not love the truth. And pretty soon the truth is taken away. And they go wandering off, and they're lost more lost than they ever were before. You've got to love the truth, not just know the truth. Amen. Revelation, the revelation may be admired, but not applied. And it still leaves you outside of communion with God. And then finally, that fourth man, the communing man, that other man, that one quarter as the parable of the sower, that is good ground, the communing man. This man does not stop at what he sees. He does not stop at what he feels. He does not stop at what he appreciates or understands. He goes further. He's not satisfied with the bread. He goes beyond the bread. He uses every experience and every encounter and every trial and every tribulation and everything in this world as a pathway to God. He does not just stop at the symbolic, but he reaches the real substance of God. He moves beyond the bread to find the one that the bread points to. That is Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just want to make this very plain. But God does not intend for you to stop at the symbol, to stop at the bread, to stop at the vine, to stop at the history, to stop at the commandment. He intends for each one of us to enter into real communion with Him. Jesus gives us this picture. Amen. I mentioned the emotional response, how that there was contact but not communion. Matthew chapter 13 verse 4, again in the parable of the sower, it says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." The seed has life. The word of God is alive. The seed has the potential to change and transform your life. The truth will make you free. And this seed, think of the potential of a seed. That seed, if it makes communion with the ground, carries with it harvest. Hundredfold. Who knows how many? But there will be a harvest if there is communion. The soil is present. The moment is right. Everything necessary is there. But there's no communion. And what happens? The fowls come and devour them up. Everything is present for the miracle of life and of harvest and growth. But nothing was ever produced. And that's a tragedy to me. God was close, but never received. Close, but the seed that sown in the heart never transformed a life. That's a tragedy. And we can't ever point and say God wasn't there, because He was. We can't ever say that He didn't speak to us, because He did. But the failure to receive Him was there. The failure of real communion was there. There's connection. Amen. Contact, but not communion. Contact's not communion. Connection is not communion. Attendance to church is not communion. Emotion is not communion. Congregation, coming together, assembling ourselves together, is not communion. And you can sit in His presence, and you can hear His word today, and you can feel His spirit around you, and still never let Him enter into you. Everything can be happening around you, and nothing happens within you. I want real communion today. I want real communion with God in every moment of my life. In every prayer that I pray, I want communion with God. In every song that I sing, I want communion, or play, I want to have communion with God. Amen. In every time that I preach, I want to have communion with God and His Word. In every time that I worship, I want communion with God. Hallelujah. And His Spirit. Praise the Lord. And we see this picture in the Last Supper. We see the picture of one that never entered into communion. The disciples were there. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He became our Passover. And in Luke 22, 19, it describes again, and He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of Him that betrayeth Me is with Me on the table." Think of that picture. There was somebody there who had His hand on the same table as Jesus. "And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom He is betrayed." The table was never meant to be the destination. The communion table, "This do in remembrance of Me," that's not the destination. That's just a pathway to the real communion. It's meant to be a remembrance of something greater. The bread points to the body. The cup points to the blood, but the symbol itself is not even the saving. The symbol can't save you. True communion with Jesus is the only thing that will save you. Amen. When you receive Him into yourself. Amen. Because Judas touched the same loaf that Jesus broke and handed to him. Judas touched the bread. Judas took the cup. Judas sat at the table. Judas even had his feet washed by the Lord Jesus Himself, but Judas never had communion. And there are people who can participate in the moment and never really enter into the reality of communion with the Lord of all. He's the Lord of the bread. He's the Lord of the cup. He's the Lord of the table. He's the Lord of salvation. He is the King of glory. Amen. He's the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And He desires to have communion with you. Pastor, Jesus handed Judas the bread. How much did He desire to have communion with Judas? Jesus handed him the cup. His hand was on the same table as the Master's. He even took off his robe and knelt down and washed the feet of the betrayer. Touched by God, but never with communion. Oh, God, have mercy on me. If I ever forget that You desire to have communion with my life, You desire for me to be fully surrendered to You, fully blessed by You, fully changed and transformed by You, God. I want to have communion with You, Lord. Somebody reach up your hand and reach up your voice, amen, and tell the Master, "Master, I want to have real, true communion with You, Lord Jesus." Hallelujah, God, I want communion. I want to sup with You and You with me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, I want to go beyond the bread, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Amen, and I thought to point this out. I thought to point this out today that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's a word. That word is unworthily. Somebody try to say that with me. Unworthily. Yes, it is possible for men to partake unworthily. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 27 says this, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I want you to notice that the word is not unworthy. Unworthy being unworthy of the supper, because if that was the case, no one would be worthy. Before Christ, we are all unworthy. When I was dead in my trespasses and my sins, when I was a child of wrath, I was totally and completely unworthy of God. But I want you to realize something. All who are in Christ are in fact worthy. Not because of your own righteousness. No, no. Because your own righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. But it's because of His holiness. Amen. If you have His Spirit in you and you are under His blood, you are not living in sin, you are worthy. Amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost, somebody say, I am worthy. It's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's because of Him and what He did. Praise the Lord. The word is unworthily. It's not meaning that they failed to create the perfect setting, but that they approached the table in an irreverent manner. They were not reverent to what was going on. They were not discerning the Lord's body. And there are those, and I have pastor friends, and I talk to them about these things, and I feel like, man, you're so focused on the exactness of the elements and making the proper environment and dimming the lights just right and having the right music played. And yes, we want to do all those things. We want to be reverent and we want to approach the sacred with respect. And it's critically important that we handle it with care. But arguing over whether you should use wine versus grape juice, or having external precision, who goes first, and the environmental control and the proper procedure, they work themselves up into a frenzy of emotion. Yeah, it's intense, but it's misplaced, because those things are not communion. It's actually a form of spiritism, a spiritualism, or religious mysticism that focuses on the symbol and not the substance, not the real communion. Because you can create the perfect environment and still miss God. And it's highly likely, if that's what you're going to focus on, right, that you're going to miss God in all of that. Amen. I want the Holy Ghost to move in my life. I want to enter into real communion with God. Amen. I want to, yes, appreciate what we're doing, but I don't want to stop at appreciation. I want to go past that into the full apprehension of His glory. Amen. Into the full communion of His presence. Amen. The Bible describes this type of thing in the book of Ezekiel, that there's no breath. No breath. Somebody say no breath. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. This is much like how Jesus mentioned that if you eat his body and drink his blood and allow him to come into you, you shall live. And I, verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied what I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Someone say, no breath. Everything was there. They were connected together even. There was structure, there was order, there was form, there was complexity, but there was no life. I want to tell you this as plainly as I can. There can be churches with structure and excellence and presentation and programs and oratory, but have no fire. And further, your walk with God can have habit and knowledge and the touch of God and even a relation to holy things, but have no breath. There's combination, but not communion. There's form, but not fire. There's church, but no spirit of Christ within. And going through the motions, but no movement towards heaven. And a walk that mimics holy things without holy fire. Amen. A walk that mimics a holy life, but does not have abundant life. I'm so thankful that when I received the Holy Ghost and I began to walk in the Spirit of God and I began to read the Word of God, it came alive in me. Amen. Does anybody know what it means and what it feels like? Amen. To have the Holy Ghost come alive in you. Amen. To be on fire for God. Amen. And to have the breath. Amen. That's the difference. The difference between what is not communion and what is communion is the breath. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 9. And he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Watch this. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost today, I want you to stand to your feet, amen, and lift up your voice and begin to praise and make some noise, amen, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the breath, God. Thank you, Jesus, for the breath of life, God. Hallelujah. In you is light and you are the light of men. Hallelujah. In you is life, amen. And you are our life, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you for making a difference in my life. Amen. I got this question not too long ago about the difference between John chapter 20 and Acts chapter 2. Amen. And there's a difference. The difference is the breath. John chapter 20 verse 22 says, and when he had said this, Jesus breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Jesus breathed on them. And they felt his breath. And he even commanded them to receive the Holy Ghost. But be very careful, because the Bible does not explicitly say that they actually received the breath. But it does say it in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The difference is first they felt the breath. Yes, they received the commandment. Amen. But they did not receive the Holy Ghost until the Bible says they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. The difference is, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they received the breath. The breath is the Holy Ghost. And when the breath comes in, everything changes. Amen. A gathering becomes a church. A body becomes alive. And a believer receives abundant life. Amen. Can you stand with me? We want to have true communion with God. Amen. And you don't enter into communion by ritual. And you don't enter into communion by watching. And you don't even enter into God by getting as close as you possibly can to the holy things. You enter into communion by participation. Participation with his death and his burial and his resurrection. The sign on the wall behind me says, "Then Peter said unto them," Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That is where new life begins. That is where being born again begins. Amen. That is where communion begins. Repentance is when you die and you have faith in God's forgiveness for your sins. Baptism is when you're buried and you have faith in his remission or payment of sins. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the Spirit of life in you. Amen. That was the same Spirit that moved upon the waters in Genesis chapter 1. Amen. And then God begins to speak. Amen. Just like he spoke in the book of Genesis, he begins to speak through you. Amen. Because when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the sign will follow all them that believe. Amen. He said, "In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Amen. I'm a believer. Amen. And I've been baptized in his name. And I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And I surrender to his life. Amen. And I receive the gift, amen, of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And that's not a symbol. That's not just me observing, being on the outside watching. And it's not just an experience. That is true communion. Amen. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you have everything you need to have real communion. Communion happens when everything else fades away. And all reality melts away. All the things around you fade away. And the true presence of God comes into your life. And it's just you and Jesus. That's true communion. Me and Jesus. Amen. Then you can say, "I have been in communion. I didn't do communion. I was in communion. Because I've had the real bread that came down from heaven." Amen. And I've taken drink of the real fruit of the vine. Amen. And I feel this so strongly. Because I know that there are people here that you've been so near, but you've never entered. And you felt the presence of God, but you haven't surrendered to the presence of God. And you've touched God, but you have not received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Revelation, my final verse here today is Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And if any man will hear my voice,
Jesus,
and open the door.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Don't harden your heart against the presence of God and say it doesn't matter.
Jesus.
Don't stop at just an emotional thrill.
Hallelujah.
Don't stop at just saying, yeah, that was pretty neat. I really enjoyed myself. I appreciated that service. No, no. I want everything that the Lord God has for me. Because if you will hear His voice and you will open up the door, He said, I will come into Him and sup with Him and He with me. Jesus is knocking. Not because He's just trying to make contact with you. No, He wants communion with you.
Yes, He does.
It's not just for a moment of time.
Yes.
No, it's for a relationship in covenant. Amen. And it's not just Jesus stopping by for a visit. But He wants to live in your heart.
Yes, He does.
He wants to be in your life at all times. He wants to say to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. I refuse to just touch Him. I refuse to just feel a tingle of His presence. I refuse to just observe others being touched by God and having communion with God. I want communion with God today. I want to go beyond the bread. I want to go beyond the vine. I want to go beyond the symbol. I desire to push into His presence, into His Spirit. This altar is open. If you want to push into His presence, if you want to enter into His Spirit and have His Spirit enter into you, come forward. Come on, are you just connected or are you in covenant? Are you just in the congregation or are you the building fitly framed together that groweth up into a holy habitation through His presence? Is He alive in you? Have you been near or have you entered? Have you just made contact? Or are you in communion with Him? Hallelujah. Can we pray today? Can we seek the face of God today? Can we pray one with another? Can we pray, God, open up our hearts, open up our minds, Jesus. Oh, sup with us, Lord God, here today, Lord. Oh, Lord, I want Your presence in my life more than anything else, God. I want Your true communion, Lord. Oh God, You are the Passover Lamb, Lord Jesus. Amen. You are, Lord, beyond the bread, God. You are beyond the vine, Lord Jesus. You're beyond what we see, Lord God. You're past all of that, God. Hallelujah. Let Your presence come in, Lord. Let Your presence come into every life today, God. Every life today. Come on, lift up your voice and cry out to God. Lift up your voice and enter into communion with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've done it before, lift up your voice and begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, Lord, I want to go deeper than ever before, God. I want to go farther than ever before, Lord Jesus. And You're waiting for me there, God. Hallelujah, You're waiting for me in my life, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, Your desire, Lord God. Hallelujah, is to be in communion with me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord.